Be back on a Friday morning for what is, as I say every week, my favorite 30 minutes of the entire week. Get ready for Shabbos, energize ourselves, and give us a food for thought for our Shabbos table. And as always, I promise you three ideas in a very short 30 minutes. But I want to start by thanking our sponsors, my in-laws this morning, Dr. Seymour and Sandy Siegel, who are sponsoring our class this morning. Li'ule Nishmas, my wife's grandmother, my mother-in-law's mother, Rivka Leah, Bas Aryeh Leib. Now, in and of itself, that would be very special that my in-laws are sponsoring this class, but obviously the person that they're sponsoring it in memory of is obviously also very meaningful for me and meaningful for my family. Rivka Leah, the person who this is sponsored in memory of, not only was my mother-in-law's mother, she was a survivor of the Holocaust. And I think if she looked down today and saw what has become of the family, thank God we have a daughter who's named after her. I know we have a niece who's named after her as well. My wife, Ariel, is named after Aryeh Leib. That's her great-grandfather. And it's very meaningful to be able to teach Torah today in her memory, Li'ule Nishmas, and to give her a little nachas that even though she went through the most difficult times ever known to humanity and mankind, nonetheless, to look down and see just a few generations later, Baruch Hashem, she has great-grandchildren that are living a vibrant, dynamic, exciting Jewish life, and please God, it should continue for many generations to come. So again, I want to thank my in-laws for sponsoring, and the learning should be Li'ule Nishmas Rivka Leah Bas Aryeh Leib. If anyone's interested in sponsoring a future class, they could either contact me or the shul office, and it is always very much appreciated. Okay, here we go. Idea number one comes from, we're going to go backwards, actually. We're going to start a little bit later in the parsha, and that where it says, Lo sita lecha sheira kol eitz, they are not allowed to plant an Asherah tree anywhere near the Mizbeach, anywhere near the altar. And then in the very next pasuk it says, V'losakim lecha matzeva, Asher tzanei Adonai Elohecha. You're not allowed to build a matzeva, you're not allowed to build a monument. Ask the Menachem Tzion, or Menachem ben Tzion Sachs, what is it that causes the Torah to place these two psukim in such close proximity to each other? Why is there a comparison between a tree on the one hand and a monument on the other hand? That's his question. And listen to his gorgeous answer. He says, if you think about it, a tree and a monument each represent something very different. A tree, by definition, sways, right? Anyone who lives in Florida and sees those crazy Friday afternoon storms or a hurricane or a tropical storm, you know, you always look outside and you can judge it by how much the trees swayed side to side. Penny and I learned that a few months ago the hard way when one of the trees swayed a little bit too much and fell down in my backyard. But a tree, by definition, is meant to sway. It is easily yields to external forces. And so says the Pasuk, Lo sita lecha asherah, that as a Jew, we are not allowed to be so easily swayed. We're not allowed to be so wishy-washy. That to be a Jew means to stand firm and strong in your convictions and what you believe in. And so don't let the winds of society carry you from one direction to the other, depending on what society tells you is correct. Lo sita lecha asherah means don't be like a tree. And so when society tells you that various forms of dress are appropriate, lo sita lecha asherah, right, you and I have to stand strong with our Jewish values. When society tells us that certain types of language or images are acceptable or ubiquitous, lo sita lecha asherah, that you cannot be as easily swayed as the tree. And when we live in a culture that has come to accept various forms of bigotry and hatred, says the Torah, lo sita lecha asherah, you can't be like an asherah tree. You can't be a wishy-washy type of Jew. You have to stand firm for what you believe in and in your convictions. But then, and here's the godless of what the Menachem Tzion says, then in the very next pasuk, the Torah also tells us, lo sakim lecha matzeva, that you also can't be like a monument. A monument is static and it is motionless. It is firmly implanted and rooted and grounded, and it's unmovable and inflexible. And so the Torah says that too is prohibited. That lo sakim lecha matzeva means don't be like a monument. Don't be so rigid and so inflexible that we are unwilling to compromise. We all know people like that. They drive us crazy. That they are never willing to give in. They always have to have the last word. They never can be wrong. Don't be like that, says the Torah. Lo sakim lecha matzeva. Don't be so rigid. Don't be so inflexible. Lo sakim lecha matzeva also means don't be so narrow-minded, that you only tolerate those who agree with you and reject anyone who thinks a little bit differently than you. But lo sakim lecha matzeva means have a little bit of humility. Know that there are different ways of viewing something. Don't be so rigid in what you believe, assuming that you're correct and everyone else is wrong. You have to be a little bit flexible. You have to be a little bit willing to bend and to compromise. And so says the Menachem Sion that these two psukim capture the struggle of our day and age. That on the one hand, lo sakim lecha matzeva, that you and I need to teach ourselves to be just a little bit more flexible and to be a little bit less rigid, certainly in our day and age, certainly in Elul, as we approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we reflect upon not just our relationship with Hashem, but we reflect upon our relationship with each other. It's reminding ourselves, you know what? Sometimes it's not worth it. If I had a dime for every family, couple, siblings that I counseled, where they haven't spoken for a year, 2 years, sometimes even 25 years, because of something so small and absurd, but this one dug his or her feet in, and this one dug his or her feet in, this one thinks the other person's wrong, this one thinks the other person's wrong, and the net result is everyone loses. They lose, their children loses, the family, all because nobody was willing to compromise. Everyone was so rigid and inflexible that it led to an environment where people simply can't coexist. Says the Torah, lo sakim lecha matzeva, you can't be like that. But also says the Torah, lo tita lecha asherah, you also can't be that wishy-washy kind of guy. We know people like that also, that they'll say one thing to you and another thing to you, and yeah, whatever people want of me, I'm happy to do. And no, you have to have a little bit of a backbone. You have to have your convictions. You have to believe in something, in a set of values and morals and ethics, and be willing to stand strong for those. I don't know, for those of you, I follow the running community. So BD Deutsch, of course, is the most famous Jewish runner nowadays, obviously coming out of Israel. And she put a post out recently where she is encouraging, let's just say nicely, the Olympic Committee, that the Olympics are supposed to be held on Shabbos for the marathon. And she's arguing that out of religious freedom, they should be sensitive to her needs, and they should move it from Saturday to Sunday. And they came back to her, they say, we refuse to move the Olympic marathon. And her argument is, you're willing to be flexible for everyone else, right? Ramadan, you are flexible. Dress codes, you're flexible for the Muslims. Why can't you be flexible for us also? And so she's standing up and she says, I don't usually do this, but I believe the issue is bigger than me. It's a issue of religious tolerance and acceptance and Jewish values. And so she stood up for herself. That's lo sita lecha asherah. Don't just accept it. You got to be strong. You got to speak out for what you believe in. But you also have to know that when it comes to our interpersonal relationships, lo sakim lecha matzeva, we can't be like a monument. Don't be so set. Don't be so rigid. Don't be so inflexible that you simply can't get along with other people. And so says the Menachem Sion, that is the great balance that you and I need to maintain, that on the one hand, to uphold the integrity of what you and I believe in, and on the other hand, don't be like a monument, that we have to approach life with a little bit of humility, with a little bit of flexibility, and a willingness to look past what we believe in and to accept other perspectives as well. That's idea number one. I think a beautiful idea, really insightful. I think it also gives us each a lot of homework as we go into Elul. I know for me personally, what do I believe in? We say throughout the month of Elul, Achat sha'alti meis Hashem, Hashem, I only have one question for you. Do you ever wonder what your question would be? If you really got an audience with Hashem, what is the one thing that you believe so strongly in that you would come to Hashem and ask Him for? That's what it means to be like a monument a little bit, right? Knows I need to know what I stand for. I can't be wishy-washy. I stand for everything, love, peace, love, and happiness. No, you got to stand for certain things. On the other hand, we have to also learn to be a little bit flexible. That's idea number one. Idea number two comes from this beautiful sefer, which you can't read because I realize it's backwards. It's called Lashon Chassidim Al HaTorah. And I got this when Rabbi Goldberg and I were in Israel for the Brody wedding in February, which is a little bit crazy to think that we were in Israel for February and seems like an eternity ago. But I saw this on the shelf and it really resonated with me, and so I bought it and I've been using it ever since. He quotes here the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, who quotes Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, who says the following Dvar Torah on the beginning of our parsha. The beginning of our parsha says, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol she'arecha. You have to place judges and police in all of your gates. Now, Hasidic Sfarim go to town on this pasuk. And basically everyone under the sun understands this, that v'shotrim v'shotrim titein lecha is means not only you as a people, that you as a people need to watch yourself and judge over yourself, but if you'll notice, the pasuk says, lecha, you as an individual, that as we approach Elul, you and I need to be careful to do an examination of ourselves, that we are under trial, that we have to examine ourselves. What am I good at? What am I not good at? What could I be doing better at? That's the classic interpretation of this pasuk. But let me share with you an idea from Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, which I thought was beautiful. Says Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, what is the cause of most fights between people? The cause between most fights between people is that when it comes to me, I'm generally giving myself the benefit of the doubt. And when it comes to you, I generally don't give you the benefit of the doubt. So when it comes to me judging myself, I'm usually very forgiving. Okay? I didn't make minyan this morning. I mean, I did, but in theory, if I didn't make minyan this morning, okay, I was really up late last night, tired. My daughter woke up in the middle of the night. Hashem will understand. Right? I didn't smile at someone in the supermarket. You know what? I'm having a really bad day. The mask was uncomfortable. It's an understandable mistake, right? Everything, most things that you and I do, we're very forgiving of ourselves. And yet when we see those same things and those same behaviors in other people, we become very judgmental very quickly. There's a guy in the shul who made a great, open, I'd say intellectually honest comment to me. He said, you know, Rabbi Moskowitz, I'm not always the best at showing up for shul. He said, so let's say shul starts at 7. I might sometimes show up at 7:08, 7:08, 7:09. He goes, and I'm okay with that because you know what? Mornings are hard for me. It's hard for me to get out. I understand. God understands. But he says, some reason, when that guy walks in 30 seconds later than I do, when he walks in at 7:09 and 30 seconds, I look at that guy and I'm like, what a schlemiesel. What guy shows up late to shul? What's wrong with that guy? He says, and I can't break through from that. He goes, I know that that makes no sense. I showed up just as late, maybe 30 seconds earlier. But for me, I'm forgiving. For that guy, I'm not so forgiving. Says Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, that's the problem, is that shvo ta adam mishpat echad la'atzmo, that we judge ourselves one way, u'mishpat echad l'zulaso, and I use a different set of standards when I'm judging you. And so while I might be very forgiving of myself, I'm very unforgiving of you. Says Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, that's how you understand the opening of our parsha this morning. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha. You, Rotzelomar, says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Oso Mishpat, the same judgment that I give to myself, I have to be willing to give to you. In the same way I'm forgiving to myself, I have to be forgiving to you. In the same way I'm understanding of myself, I have to be understanding of you. In the same way when I make mistakes, I rationalize it. I explain that there were mitigating circumstances, that there were circumstances beyond my control. I have to apply that same standards to you as well. And so says Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, that's shotrim v'shotrim titein lecha. The same rules that I apply to myself, I have to apply to you as well. Rotza lomar oso mishpat. Shahayisa rotza al chavercha, osu amishpat shpot la'atzmecha, v'titin lecha, ze hashofet, sheyishpot oscha kamo zulascha. I have to maintain the same standards for myself as I do for other people. And therefore, if I'm forgiving for myself, I have to be forgiving for you as well. He says, this is how we understand the following Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hei says, ve'al tadin es chavercha, ad shetagia limkomo, that I can't judge a person until I get to his place. And what does that mean? It means that until I've sat in your shoes, and until I've judged myself through those shoes, in other words, given myself the benefit of the doubt, because I know what it's like now to be in that situation, I can't judge you either. The same rules that apply to me have to apply to you. In the same way I'm forgiving of myself, I have to be willing to be forgiving of you as well. In the same way I rationalize for myself, I have to be willing to rationalize for you. Says Rav Yonah Eibshitz, if we apply this rule, then we would avoid 99% of fights, because I would be just a little bit more understanding, and I would be just a little bit more tolerant, and I would learn to see not the worst of people, but the best of people, the same way I see the best of myself, not just the worst of myself. And so that, he explains, is shoftim vishotrim titein lecha. To you, the same judgment you apply to yourself, you have to be willing to apply to others. And by doing that, you'll avoid so much infighting and so much machlokas. Now you'll notice that the very first two ideas that I shared this morning, both had to do with interpersonal relationships. And you might say to yourself, Rabbi Moskowitz, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. We're supposed to be repairing our relationship with Hashem. Why are you talking about interpersonal relationships? That's the whole idea. Is we all mistake that Elul is about returning to Hashem. Elul is about returning to Hashem, but it's also about returning to each other. Right? We think about Elul, acronym, Ani LeDodi, VeDodi Li, I'm to my beloved is to me. Think about my relationship with Hashem. But it's also Ish L'Re'ehu, Matanos L'Avyonim. It's also about how I get along with you. Think about as a parent. What's the most painful thing for a parent? I know for me, if my children might say something inappropriate to me, it's okay. But when they treat each other wrong, when they treat their siblings wrong, that is something that's very painful to me. And so if we want to repair our relationship with Hashem, if we want to give the Borei Olam Nachas, you know how it starts? It starts by treating each other with respect. It starts by seeing the best in each other. And the same benefit of the doubt I give myself, I have to be willing to give to you as well. So those ideas, number one and number two. Idea number one, the beautiful idea from Rav Nachum Zaks, that on the one hand, don't be too much like a tree. Don't sway too much and be wishy-washy, but you have to learn to stand firm. But on the other hand, don't be like a monument. Don't be too firm where you're rigid and you're inflexible and you're unwilling to compromise and you're unwilling to see something from another person's perspective. Idea number two was Rav Yonah and Eibshitz, shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha, that the same level of rules that you apply to yourself apply to other people. In the same way I'm forgiving with myself, I have to be forgiving of you as well. The third idea is far and away my favorite idea. I am so excited about this one. When I saw it, I literally jumped out of my skin. It comes from the same Sefer. He quotes it from the Magid Mizlachev. I don't know what that is, but the Zlachev or Magid, who says the following. It says in our Parsha, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, Leman Tichya. Righteous, righteous, you shall pursue. Of course, we all know that is one of the most famous psukim in the entire Torah. It's been hijacked throughout the generations, not just by Jews, but by non-Jews alike, as a crying call for social justice. Tzedek, tzedek. In other words, it says it twice. Not just be a little bit righteous, but be very righteous. We have to really pursue righteousness. And according to many Mefarshim, that's how we understand the superfluous nature of the pasuk, is that don't just be a little bit running after justice, but run after a lot of justice. Listen to what the Zlachev Magid says. He says, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof is the tool of the Yetzer Hara to get us to make a mistake. He says, Haklal hu, kishem shea Yetzer Hara mefate esa adam la aveira rachmana letzlan. The same way that the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to perform an aveira, kachu mefate oso shiat tzadik yoser medai. The Yetzer Hara tries to convince us to be more righteous than we actually are. Think about that for a second. Not only does the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, try to get us to make mistakes, it also tries us to become better than we actually are. And that's what it means, tzedek tzedek. Tzedek tzedek means you have to be even better than you actually are, tirdov. Says the Zlachev Magid, run away from that mentality. Run away from a mentality that says that I have to be perfect and that I have to be so much better than I am and that if I don't do everything, that it's all or bust when it comes to my relationship with Hashem. Tzedek, tzedek. If you think you have to be that good, run away from that mindset. That's not a Jewish mindset. That is an unbelievable interpretation. Counterintuitive for a rabbi to be sitting here and saying on Rosh Chodesh Elul, you don't have to be that good. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that as we approach Elul in the month of change, many of us make a very tragic mistake when it comes to self-improvement. And that means that we assume that I have to become much better. I have to make significant strides. And when you do that and you take on too much, you know what you get? Nothing. You get nothing, right? The way to self-improvement is to say, I'm just going to become a little bit better today than I was yesterday. That's what self-improvement means. And if you take on too much, you get nothing. If you take on a little and you do it consistently for 30 days, that's what leads to real self-improvement. In fact, if you looked at the Elul brochure that we put out yesterday, and there's going to be an email going out about it today, we put out an Elul challenge, a mind, body, soul challenge, which challenges everyone in our community to sign up for a WhatsApp group and to do one small thing for your mind, for your body, and for your soul during Elul. And if you look at the examples that we give, they are so pathetically small, right? It could be reading a little bit more each day. It could be saying Kriyat Shema at night. It could be benching out of a bench. We're not talking about earth-shattering things. Small things, little, every single day, 30 days, makes you a better person. The Yetzer Hara tries to convince you to do the opposite. The Yetzer Hara says, you know what? I'm going to learn all Shas. I've got to be perfect. And if I'm not perfect, then who am I faking, right? You think you're such a great father? You think you're such a great father? You're on your text messaging. You're not such a great... Give it up, right? The Yetzer Hara tries to make us give up even before we try to start, because it says that if you don't become the best, it's not even worth it. Now, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdov, says the Zlatch from Magid, run away from that mindset. I'm going to share with you an even better Dvar Torah. This is a compliments that magnificently. Medrash says that the Yetzer Hara appears to a person in one of three ways. You ready? Again, every time I say that there's a Dvar Torah that you're going to remember forever, this is it. Listen up. I promise you will never forget this one. Medrash says that the Yetzer Hara appears in one of three ways. As a thug, as a businessman, and as a Talmud Chacham. Says the Medrash, the Yetzer Hara sometimes appears like a thug. Thug. Like the type of guy that you never wanted to see on the streets at midnight in Washington Heights when I was in YU. That's the thug. There's nothing subtle about this attack. The Yetzer Hara comes, it full front on, it tries to convince you to do something that's forbidden and something that's self-destructive. Right? Look at that picture. Talk during davening. Eat that piece of cake. Go for it. What's the big deal? Do the wrong thing. Other times, says the Medrash, the Yetzer Hara appears like a businessman. Businessman isn't overtly coming to attack you, right? He might have slicked hair and dressed in a fancy suit. He appears a little bit more like a salesman, where he's trying to convince you to do the wrong thing, but because he's trying to make it seem like it's the right reason. So the Yetzer Hara, as a businessman, might come to you and say, you know what? You have so many kids to feed. You really want to give charity. So, you know what, fudge the books a little bit. No one's going to know. And even if you're stealing, but you're doing it for the right reason, because you're going to give more money to tzedakah and you're going to give more money to day school education. So it's okay to fudge the books a little bit, get a bigger bonus, but you're doing it for the right reasons. Yetzer Hara says, of course you should go to Minyan. Of course you should learn Torah. But you've had such a hard day. It's been such a difficult week. You deserve a little bit of time to sleep in. You deserve a little bit of time to relax, right? That's the Yetzer Hara as a businessman. It's not coming on and saying, do the wrong thing. It's saying, you have good intentions. It's okay, right? Fudge the books a little bit, but because it's going to want you to give tzedakah. But then the Yetzer Hara comes in a third way, says the Medrash, and that's as a Talmud Chacham. What does it mean Yetzer Hara comes as a Talmud Chacham? Yeah, that's exactly the point. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes and tries to convince us that we have to become a Talmud Chacham, that we have to become great individuals, that we have to become Gedolei Ador, that we have to become dramatically better people, and if we don't, then we're just fakes and frauds and inauthentic. That's the Yetzer Hara as a Talmud Chacham. It says, you think you're such a great parent? You're texting all the time, you're emailing during dinner, give it up, right? You're putting on a show, you're hypocritical, stop pretending, admit who you really are, you're nothing special. That's the Yetzer Hara as a Talmud Chacham. It says you either have to be perfect or you're nothing. Says the Rebbe Rashab, Rav Shalom Dov Ber Schneerson, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, that out of all three Yetzer Haras, The third Yetzihara, the Yetzihara to be a Talmid Chacham, is the biggest and most dangerous Yetzihara of all, especially this time of the year. Because it's a Yetzihara that forces you to give up and to focus on your flaws more than on your beauty. It's a Yetzihara that says that if I'm not perfect, why bother trying at all? I'll share with you one more, again, complimentary Dvar Torah to that. But we say in Sefer Bereishis, Vayara Lakimas Kol Asher Asa, Vihine Tov Ma'od. We know that at every day of creation, the Torah says that Hashem looked, Vayar Ki Tov. On the last day of creation, when He creates mankind, God looks out and He sees Tov Ma'od. He sees it's very good. What does it mean it's very good? It says the Medrash, Tov Ma'od, Ze Yetzihara. Really good? That's the Yetzihara. Why is really good a Yetzihara? It's exactly what we're talking about. Because the Yetzihara demands us not just to be good, but that we have to be very good. We have to be Tov Ma'od. And if we're not very good, why bother trying at all? Tzedek, Tzedek, that Yetzihara that tries to convince you that you have to be really righteous, Tir Dov, says Lezach Ramagid. Run away from that mindset because it destroys your self-confidence. It crushes your self-esteem. It poisons your happiness. We have to look for incremental growth. Little by little, each one of us on our own level, we don't have to become a Talmid Chacham overnight. And we don't have to become Tov Ma'od. We have to become just a little bit better than we were yesterday. And so that's the pasuk in our parsha. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdov. Run away from that mindset. Run away from the mindset that doesn't just mean I have to be tzedek, I have to be righteous, but that I have to be really righteous. Because that's so destructive to our self-esteem and overall who we want to become and who we aspire to be. So again, first of all, I want to thank my in-laws again for sponsoring Lila Nishmas Rivka Leia Bas Ari Leib, all of our learning and our inspiration this morning. Shabi Liulei Nishmasa, should be a great merit and zchus for her and for what she has merited to contribute to building over the past number of generations. But I want to repeat and review the three ideas because I think each one of them this morning was so magnificent. The first one is the idea from Rav Menachem and Zion Zaks, the Menachem Tzion, that on the one hand, don't be like a tree, don't be wishy-washy. On the other hand, don't be like a monument so static and unmovable and inflexible. Idea number two came from Jonas and Eifshitz. Shoftim v'shotrin titein lecha. That the same level of rules that I judge myself on, I have to judge you on also. And if I'm forgiving of myself, I have to be willing to be forgiving of you as well. And the third idea is this gorgeous, literally gorgeous idea of the Zlatch of Ramagid, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdov. Run away from a mindset. Tirdov, run away from a mindset that says, Tzedek, Tzedek, that I have to be really righteous. Because that's not what God demands of us. God demands of us of being the best version of ourselves, of being just a little bit better than yesterday. And so as we approach Elul, and we continue in the season of spiritual growth and physical growth and becoming that best version of ourselves, always keep in mind this idea of tzedek, tzedek, tirdo. Don't run too fast. Don't expect too much of yourselves. Don't have such high expectations that are unachievable and will only lead you to feelings of frustration and giving up. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdo. All God asks of us is to be just a little bit better today than we were yesterday. And if for 30 days we commit ourselves to that mindset, how great we will feel when we approach Rosh Hashanah. 30 days of incremental growth, we'll look back and reflect upon how much we have achieved over these past 30 days. I want to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos, a wonderful Shabbos, an inspirational Shabbos, and a Shabbos that's filled with lots and lots of simcha and joy and good health. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.